The easiest way to remember us is just 99.1 FM Talk.
It's live and local with John and Jay on Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Our number, in case you got some questions or comments, 775-884-9910. Also, Facebook. If you haven't joined us yet on Facebook, you can go and search for 99.1 FM Talk. You can send me messages on Facebook Messenger as well. And in studio with us right now,
Mr. Brad Pope. Could possibly be our next Lyon County Sheriff. Now, this is we're talking Jay's hometown here. This is Yerington talk, folks. But a lot of the issues that you have are very common to each and every area. You know, I like your blog on your website. You had a booth set up as part of your campaign. You said the number one concern that people brought up to you was, what about the druggies? What are you going to do about the druggies? What about the drug problem? That was the that's really that big of an issue.
Absolutely, it is.
Okay, it is. And what solutions, and you're running for sheriff, do you have any alternate solutions to doing something different than what's being done now?
So currently and in the past, the thought process was to eliminate the illegal drugs, mm-hmm. you know, from our communities. And I think we saw in the war on drugs through the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, that that's nearly impossible. You know, we're talking about illegal drugs coming from outside of the country and flooding our neighborhoods. In Lyon County, we consider Reno a source city. It's our source city. And
yeah.
it's quickly becoming a national source city. So when our drug dealers and users need to score and get a fix, they come to Reno and they bring it back to Lyon County. What we need to focus on in Lyon County is, instead of working up the ladder where we arrest somebody and then they flip and turn on their dealer and we come to Reno and give it to the DEA or RPD or Washoe County or any of the multiple drug units that are going pretty strong in this city, what we need to do is work down the ladder and start taking out the users and the street-level dealers that are plaguing our community in Lyon County. Those are the same people that are responsible for the huge increase in thefts, burglaries, violent crime. So we put those people in jail, and hopefully that will reduce our crime rate.
Well, I'm so happy you said that, because as soon as you said, well, our first initial process was to get rid of the drugs, and I said, oh, no, he's not going to say that they're making the Biden crack pipe packages, right? Like, they're not going to start giving away crack pipes or something. That's not happening, thank goodness. But the war on drugs is a very serious issue. And, you know, I was talking to you earlier about growing up in rural Missouri, you know, where I did. And it's just in rural towns, it's just an unfortunate truth. But, you know, there's not a lot to do. People do sometimes turn to drugs and stuff, you know. And so you've got to battle that this crisis that's going on. There's fentanyl, there's opioids. I mean, there's all sorts of things. It's not just one, you know, it's not like you can just say, oh, it's Sun Valley and methamphetamines. You know, it's
sure.
it's you know, it's everything now. So now that you're running for the sheriff's spot, you are currently running against the current sheriff, right?
Correct.
Okay. So how long has he been sheriff? Now?
He's a one-term sheriff.
One-term sheriff. Okay. So come November, are you going to be doing a big campaign push? Because it seems like to me, in Lyon County anyways, you can't even go a mile without seeing your face. Your campaign signs are everywhere. I have no clue what this other guy that you're running against looks like.
So I have a very aggressive team, and it worked out well. I was transferred to Dayton in 2019 mm-hmm. To work as a patrol sergeant and a watch commander. And I met a group of retired cops from multiple agencies throughout the country, actually. And they signed on board right away when I told them I wanted to run for sheriff. And they're the ones hanging my signs, helping me out, doing a lot of the volunteer work. And they've just been great. And it's been an aggressive push.
It's
come
important.
August, September, we're going to even get a little bit more aggressive.
Let me ask you this, Brad. You're running against the current sheriff. This month, you were reassigned from the Dayton Patrol Division to the Fernley Patrol Division. What happened there? Is this a retribution thing? I mean, it wasn't your choice.
No, I don't believe it'd be a retribution thing.
Okay.
If it was a retribution thing, it wouldn't be a wise choice to put me to an area that's our most populated area in the county.
You don't get along with the current sheriff, though.
No, we get along. we do get along. We don't see eye to eye politically and policy and procedure wise.
Okay. I looked at your blog. They have an awful lot of what he's doing wrong.
Well, I think you have to, right? I have to point out the differences.
So what's he doing wrong?
Well, you know, the first thing I would say is the positioning of our command staff. So Yerington, yes, that's where the jail and the sheriff's office is located, but it's one of our lowest population centers. Yeah. You know, Fernley is part of Lyon County. There's 28,000 people in Fernley. Dayton has a large population. Silver Springs is matching near the population of Yerington, mm-hmm. and our command staff is positioned in Yerington. Currently, we're operating with no direction and no mission. I think if you were to ask any one of our patrol deputies, what's your mission? You know, I don't know that they could give you an answer.
Or a plan.
Right.
He says we can't do that a lot, like an explorer program for kids to get into the we can't do that.
So he had ran last time on creating the Explorer program. He took office, wanted to create the Explorer program. Uh-huh. COVID happened, and he said COVID shut that down. Well, we're out of the pandemic. Everything's opened up.
And he says we can't do that.
Not currently. He has said we can't do it. What his opinion on it is right now, he would say he would love to do it. Well, we're not doing it.
And what is the issue with Highway 50? And the Lyon County sheriffs, you write about the new safety concerns on 50, and the current sheriff says he can't enforce the law on the highway?
So we went to the highway traffic safety meeting in Dayton. The sheriff wasn't present. His undersheriff was representing the sheriff's department. And so a citizen stood up and said that she sees a lot of blame going on the Lyon County Sheriff's Office for the incidents on Highway 50. And she put the idea out there that the sheriff's office has no jurisdiction on the highway whatsoever, and the undersheriff let that idea float, and it's absolutely incorrect. We do have jurisdiction on the highway.
I was going to say, I think within your own county, you definitely do, right?
Absolutely.
And am I wrong? Isn't it Nevada Highway Patrol or state police? Aren't they the only ones who have jurisdiction literally everywhere in the state?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. All right. So, I mean, they do control the highways, but it's not just that. It's not just them. It's like within your own county. There's Churchill County, there's Story County, there's Lyon County, all these places. And you can get pulled over by a Lyon County sheriff on a highway.
Yerington Police Department can pull you over
right.
on a highway. There's highways that run through tribal agencies, and tribal agencies can pull you over on that stretch of highway. I've been ticketed by a tribal agency on a section of highway, so it does happen.
Right, absolutely. All right, so Brad, tell us a little bit more about yourself. How did you get involved in law enforcement? I mean, what made you say, I want to be a police officer?
So I grew up in Southern Nevada. Since I was a kid, I wanted to be in law enforcement. So I talked with a few of my friends that worked for Metro and worked for a few other agencies, and they said, hey, you know, a great place to start would be the prisons. You're young. It gives you an idea on how to talk to criminals, so mm-hmm. to speak. So I put my application on my 21st birthday, put my application to all the Nevada state prisons. Well, Ely State Prison was the first prison that contacted me.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't honestly wait to get out of Las Vegas and Henderson. I love small towns.
Right.
So drove right up there, was hired. I started 6 months after my 21st birthday. Spent about 2 years there. And started looking for a street position right away. I wanted to stay in the small town, so I applied for Lyon County and moved out to Yerington, and then the rest is
Did you ever see yourself being an actual sheriff, though, or did you just want to do a patrol? Or
So it's kind of funny. So in 2005, when I started with the sheriff's office, Sid Smith was the sheriff, and Alan Vail was a captain at the time. And when I graduated the academy, I told those guys, hey, in 2022, I'm running for sheriff. And they both told me, well, we won't be around by then, so
right.
knock yourself out. And it was kind of a joke, but the fact that it's becoming a reality is pretty funny.
It's funny you say that about these joke things, because I was with a guy from the chamber one time, and we were joking around, and I threw out that I might actually run to be mayor. I don't know how much Big John would like to hear that. But yeah, I was thinking, maybe it's possible. You never know. We could go bigs down there in Yerington. But that being said, we were really looking forward to getting, you know, some good leadership down there. And, you know, I truly, just looking at your values and just knowing you personally so far, what I've been able to, you know, talk with you and encounter you guys and your family. It was nice down at 4th of July. I went down there and did all the announcements for the 4th of July events at the park. Got to meet, it's your wife and your two daughters, right?
Two of my four children, yes.
Oh, you got four?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. I thought it was two. You guys were all dressed up in red, looking good and matching. How old are your kids?
17, 16, 12, and 7.
Oh, my gosh.
So I got girls and a boy.
I got a 17 and a 15-year-old, so we're right there.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing, man. Well, you know what? It's been good. I just wanted to make sure that we introduced folks to you because, I mean, it'd be a little absurd, just in my opinion. I don't know the other guy that's the current sheriff. But you can't go, like I said, a mile in Lyon County without seeing Brad's face. So if you want to know what his mug looks like, just drive on through Lyon County. You can't miss him. Either way, Brad, thank you so much for coming on. And I want to make sure that we keep this relationship because, man, I'll tell you, there's so much to talk about. And with our reach down in Smith and Mason Valley, we aren't the only radio station down there. We would love to have you on and be able to talk about things that matter to that community because it's a very vital part of us here at 99.1.
Absolutely. And I listened to you guys in Dayton. 99.1 came in great in Dayton when I was on patrol there.
Nice. Yeah, just right. When you switch over, it's around Fort Churchill where you start to get 92.3, where you can tune in there. So, all right, folks, there you go. It's your future, hopefully, fingers crossed anyways, future Lyon County Sheriff Brad
Pulp. Nice meeting you, Brad.
It was nice meeting you guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, we have got on next, Hype Tea Market. We're going to talk sneakers and boba tea,
the
John.
Sneaker craze.
Yeah.
Have you seen this? People collecting sneakers.
It's insane, man. We're going to talk about it next right here on 99.1 FM Talk and 92.3 in the Smith and Mason Valley.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
It's live and local with John and Jay on Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. And as promised, John, we're going to talk about sneakers and boba.
The sneaker craze. We were all surprised when Nikes went over $100 a pair a couple of decades ago. But sneakers are like gold now. There are sneaker heads. That's what they call the people who they're collectors, serious collectors of sneakers.
Don't snicker at these sneaker collectors.
How and why did this happen?
Well,
we have a shop that kind of specializes in this.
It's the only one in Reno, in my opinion. And we're talking about Hype Tea. The owner, or Hype Tea Market, the owner, Carlos, is in here with us. Good morning, Carlos.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Good, man. Thank you so much for coming in here this morning. Obviously, no puns intended, hype to have you in. It's going to be a fun time.
I appreciate you guys for having us.
So here's how it came to be here on the show. My buddy Christian DeVera, who's a photographer here in town, told me, he goes, oh, man, let's go get some boba. And I always see him posting on his Instagram. And he said, we're going to go to Hype Tea. And I'm like, I've never heard of this before. So we go over to it's on the airport shopping center, kind of right next to the AT&T behind between there and like Capriotti's. And that's the best place to explain it. So we go over there and we go inside and I'm expecting just to get some boba tea like you see around town. No, this is a really cool shop. It's got a hip hop vibe to it. You guys have got sneakers all over, and we're not just talking any sneakers. It's like John was talking about, these sneaker collectors go there because they're not cheap. Like, I want to say, like, your cheapest pair of sneakers is like $150 or something.
At least, yeah.
At least, man.
People used to take pictures of their babies. I've been on the internet. People take pictures of their sneakers now.
Yes, sir.
There's Yeezys.
Huge market in that.
Well, they're doing better than my stocks now,
yeah.
Right?
Well, that's kind of how I kind of look at it in a sense. I almost look at them as stocks. It's kind of crazy to kind of.
It's a good investment, apparently.
Definitely. We have been able to actually, you know, as you can see, get a shop out of it. It's been pretty great. We added the boba in there because, you know, who doesn't love boba? Who doesn't love a nice smoothie or milk tea, you know, on a hot summer day? It's very hot out right now. So definitely recommend you guys coming and getting some.
So which one's the front? Is it the?
I for sure would say, you know, it's funny because I for sure would say the sneakers side. We also specialize in vintage. So that's another thing that I think is pretty cool. In a sense, these are also collectibles. When you look at vintage, I look at vintage more as a passion for me than the sneakers. The sneakers is great, don't get me wrong, but vintage is beautiful because it's an aspect of not being able to see that t-shirt too many times. You know, you see a vintage shirt, you might have saw them back in your day, but not today. And that's what makes them really cool, honestly. You make yourself unique outside of somebody else not wearing the same thing that you buy at your mall.
But when you say vintage, we're talking used sneakers.
Yeah,
used.
That is true. It's crazy, man.
They look new, though.
I mean,
they really do.
Old Air Jordans used.
Even then.
What do you do with it?
So check this out. For me, I wasn't there. I'm only 27 years old. I was born in 1995, but you guys might have been there. What how crazy was it then when Michael Jordan and the Jordans came out? It was nuts then. What do you think it is today?
Those Jordans that have air on the side of them, things right there were like, you would kill for those back when I was 15.
The bubbles?
Man, yeah. We had Keds and PF Flyers and Buster Browns. What a rip. What a rip. You're not interested in those, are you?
I'll be honest with you. A vintage pair of PF Flyers are actually worth some money today if you come across them. I'll be honest. So, yeah, we've sold some made in the U.S. vintage Converse for $150 on eBay. Beat to hell. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, and the clothes, too. I mean, like, they look kind of, what do they call, pre-tattered?
Yeah, yep, in a sense, yeah. It's funny, the kids like them. The more beat up today, they like them a little bit more that way. Little tears, rips and tears here and there.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's a pair of some sandals you can get there, John. I got a picture here I'm showing. These are in your storefront. They're called the Yeezys.
Yeah, right? Yeezy slides. Yes, sir.
Kanye Yeezy.
Kanye West. Yes, sir. They no less than $200 for the pair of those.
Whole thing was so hot that now there are counterfeit sneakers.
Yes. They're actually
Air
getting
Jordan,
like the Asian purse shops in New York.
Yes, sir. Exactly. They're actually getting really good with them, and it's been pretty tough. So if you sell fake sneakers and you know about it, don't do it, man. Come on. These people pay a lot of money to get some nice real shoes. You know, it's
I
tough.
Know those are Versace.
Yeah.
Oh, Sachi.
Literally.
Does Gucci make sneakers?
They do, actually. They do.
Oh, my God.
Gucci, Louis Vuitton.
Makes sneakers.
All of them. They've literally jumped into the streetwear culture, and it's kind of crazy. It's nuts to see how much it's taken over. If you look at radio and music, too, the hip-hop scene itself, hip-hop is one of the biggest genres in music right now. So I just think, in a sense, this whole culture is taking over everything.
Well, is it a fad? Or is it going to stick around? Trends are crazy.
They absolutely are.
I wonder if this is here to stay.
I feel like it is, in a sense. You know what?
I was having Basque food recently, and there was a guy at the other end of the table from me, and he's with his three daughters. And his three daughters were saying, "Dad, you need to start dating again." He's like, "Oh, no, you know." And then they said, "Well, the first thing you need to do is go and buy new clothes." And he looked at him, and I swear I've never laughed so hard. He goes, I can't say the word. He goes, "I don't care. Everything I have has come back in style three times."
Hey, that is true.
You know, because it is going to come back. Everybody loves tea.
But I'll be honest with you guys, at the same time, I feel like sneakers, in a sense, have always had its sneakers has always had its value. Like I said, Jordans, the first original Jordan 1 ever, those are, you can find those anywhere brand new. You can't find them brand new anymore. Used anywhere from $1,000 to $3,000 is what they're valued at right now.
But
15
Carlos,
years ago, it was the same
it's
thing.
Only certain brands.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Because I heard that New Balance are like old man sneakers.
Well, New Balance 550s right now, there's a style that's actually very popular. It's funny. But this is another thing that I look at. This is why I do think it's going to stay. These brands are the same popular brands that were in the 80s as well. Adidas, Nike, Jordan. It's all the same brands. It's not changing.
But New Balance is on hip.
Yeah.
What happened?
They'll make their comeback. I think, like I said, right now,
it's more for the people that need a new hip.
What's the difference?
New Balance 550s. Check them out. That's actually very popular right now
New Balance 550.
Yeah, they're actually a really popular shoe. We got a bunch of pairs in stock. Come by.
Old man sneakers, and I guess that's me. They used to be called kicks, right? But
now
get this. I'm going to sound hip here, Jay. They're called corks.
I've never heard of that.
Okay. See, I'm ahead of the crowd.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He's starting a new word here, a new trend.
These New Balances, these 550s, I just had to take a look at them. These are really cool looking.
Yeah,
they do look hip.
Stylish, comfortable. I agree with you. 550s are very comfortable, honestly. I'm waiting for Skechers to drop something fire.
They almost look like a skateboarder shoe.
They do. They actually have jumped into skating for sure, definitely.
Oh, New Balance?
Yeah, New Balance. So they're more of a skate shoe now. Yeah, it's all going with the times, I guess. I'm not sure.
But these collectors actually wear them, right, to look hip or green.
not all of them.
They put them in a display case or what?
So there's people who will definitely get their sneakers. They buy them just for the collection. There's a pair, Travis Scott, actually. That's another thing too, is collaborations have been going. That's what's going on right now. That's what's really taking over the market, is the collaboration.
The Stussy and Nike ones I
yes,
saw
sir.
You had, that was insane. I could not believe Stussy.
It's pretty wild. Yeah,
with Nike.
Louis Vuitton and Nike just dropped some Air Force Ones together recently. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
But smelly old Air Jordans have a big price tag.
Yes, sir. So the new Travis Scotts that just dropped, the retail was about $180 for them. Right now, they are reselling anywhere from $1,200 to $1,500.
Is there value in distressed like they do with jeans?
With jeans, yes, not with sneakers. I mean, if the more beat up, obviously the cheaper it would be. I sell used shoes as well. Those are for more of the people who can't really afford the $600 shoes. I'll have the $600 shoes at $300. Kind of worn, not too beat up, still wearable for sure. And that's kind of what we focus on. I don't really like to take beat shoes. It's pretty.
Beat shoes?
Like beat up, like distressed and worn.
Oh, okay. That's a new hip term. Okay.
Yeah. This
blows you got to get with the times, John.
Yeah. Yeah, come check us out, John. I'm sure I will find a pair for you.
What are you wearing?
Right now, I am wearing.
This is a classy place, you know.
Here's some Jordan 4s here.
Oh, Jordan 4s. Those are pretty cool.
Yes,
those are old school, kind of like the 80s, right?
Yeah,
there,
yeah.
It looks
actually,
like.
They're actually really popular right now.
And your shirt, too, right? That's actually a vintage.
Yeah, so this is a vintage Kanye West t-shirt. That's
no, it's a teddy bear with jeans on.
It's vintage.
vintage
from when
it
he
has on the front.
Kanye, I think Kanye ripped off Polo. That's one of his favorite brands. So I think that was one of his original plans with the bear, was to create a sense of that. Yeah, so yeah, it was pretty cool, honestly.
He does have a bear on some of his album covers, I believe.
He does. He does. I think out the first three. Yeah.
I gotta see this shop of yours.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
John, we're stopping by as soon as we're off the air. We're gonna. It's literally. I can see the front. I think.
Me
as
too.
I look at the studio.
We open at 11 there. I gotta head over there right now. But yeah, and the boba. If hey, that's why we opened the boba. See,
can we introduce him to boba this morning?
Absolutely.
I've never had a boba.
Oh, you've never had a boba before.
We're going.
Yes, please come by and then talk about it tomorrow. I hope.
We will, man. Absolutely. So where can folks go and find out about your shop online?
So we are on Instagram, Hype Tea Market. And I know it was a little mistake or mismatch earlier, but it is Hype Tea. We have our Instagram for Hype Tea Market. Market is for the sense of the clothes and the shoes.
Mm-hmm.
We do have an Instagram there. We are on Facebook at Hype Tea Market. I believe that's it for now. We just had a grand opening on Saturday. I think you showed up Sunday, right?
Yeah, it was on Sunday.
Yeah, it was on Sunday.
What's your guys' address?
It's 1274 East Plum Lane, Suite D, right at the Costco Shopping Center, as you were saying earlier.
Right. Yeah, that's the easiest way to find them over there.
For sure, yeah. Very busy area, one of the most popular parts.
What did you do before this?
You know, it's funny, man. I graduated from Hug High School.
Awesome.
Yeah. I graduated from Hug High School barely, I'll be honest with you. I didn't go to college. I really had no idea what I was going to do. I used to sell my clothes to my friends. That's what I used to do. I would buy stuff at Ross, buy it for $8, $9, and then sell it to my friends for $15, $20, and they loved it.
And now you're Reno's sneaker mogul.
Hey, man. Dude. Hey, man. I wouldn't do it without my boys over there. You know, shout out to Ian and Irvin and Curtis and everybody. And definitely. That's something that
Is he the guy that break dances?
Who? Irvin?
Irvin?
No, that's Izzy. Yeah, shout out to Izzy. Yeah, exactly.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's funny. But yeah, no, man. So I definitely. It's honestly probably nothing. I'll be honest with you. I still would be trying to figure out maybe a warehouse job or something.
I salute you. What an entrepreneur.
I appreciate it, man.
You are.
Yes, sir. And hey, this for everybody out there, man. If you guys are trying to do something,
find something you love.
Yes. Find something you love, and it's not too difficult.
Find
to
something you love, or find an old pair of sneakers and go sell it to this guy.
Exactly.
Either way. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's been Hype T. Carlos with them. Go and check them out in the Costco Shopping Center here off Plum. And we have got the River Inn coming in a little bit later this hour. So make sure you stay tuned. 775-884-9910 is our phone number. If you got any questions or comments for us, it's live and local with John and Jay on Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3 and 99.1. FM Talk.
99.1. The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada. KKFT.
Hiya. John Potter, Jay Biggs. Always live, always local. Every Saturday morning, 9 to noon. At 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
Hey, don't forget, we are on Facebook. Just search for 99.1 FM Talk. And you can also go to 991FMTalk.com and follow the link there. Also on that website, did you know that we have a podcast that you can check out after each and every show? It doesn't matter whenever you want to listen to it. Maybe you're showering, driving around town, whatever. Just go and check out the podcast. 775-884-9910 is our phone number. If you have any questions or comments, we would love to hear from you, folks.
Shark Week starts tomorrow. Yes, Shark Week. Starts tomorrow. You're not too excited, are you?
Well, I thought you were going to talk about the Starbucks parade going on today.
Oh, that.
Where's I, the, I,
He calls it a Starbucks parade, well, folks. It's North and Nevada Pride. Yeah, North and Nevada Pride. We call it Starbucks Parade because Starbucks never lets me forget that they're for the LGB. I don't want to get into that right now. Anyway, Shark Week, yes, starts tomorrow. Did you see the picture on the internet from a Target store that put a Jaws t-shirt on a mannequin with one arm? They had to take it down. People complained about it. Well, they were in the spirit.
Did somebody get offended by a one-arm mannequin?
Yes, because they were promoting Shark Week. And they had the Jaws t-shirt on the mannequin without an arm. And, of course, Jay, somebody complained.
You know, I got to say, it's funny because I read an article this week that apparently the movie Jaws is what's caused such a uproar about sharks and make people so scared about sharks. They did some sort of a study. Did you see that?
I think I did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Did the movie ever make you more scared?
You know, it never gets old, that movie. It's one of those movies that it's still got it.
Mm-hmm. I hear that.
But yeah, back to the mannequin. I can picture the manager there saying, we're going to need a bigger mannequin. That's just me.
We're going to need, maybe they could hire the midgets that are promoting the porta sub sandwiches from last week.
Okay, now you thought that was funny. Governor Sisolak says Nevada has recovered all the jobs lost during the pandemic. Yes. He says Nevada recovered all the jobs lost during the pandemic and has reached a new all-time high of jobs. He says there are 3,000 more jobs than the previous peak in February 2020. Here's the governor's quote. Nevada has never had more jobs than we do today, and we will keep working to keep Nevada moving forward. That's what he said. Looking at the numbers, Reno employment is up 10,500 jobs since June 2021. Carson City employment increased by 1,200 jobs. Now, these numbers are from Dieter, which couldn't even get the unemployment out to everybody. But
well, we know how truthful those resources are.
All those jobs are back. Folks, it's a miracle.
Well, Ron, hold on. Ron Chadwick, who was with us earlier from L&L Barbecue, the owner, he had a great saying. He's like, you know what? Truthfully, the jobs are there. They never went anywhere. It's the workers.
Yeah, I don't buy what the governor's saying. Look around. Everybody needs workers. We have restaurants still closed early or late due to staff shortages. Even the DMV has not fully reopened.
It's I can't figure out when to go and get my $6 box from Jack in the Box anymore.
The governor's shutdowns closed businesses permanently. Vegas. This was in the news. We had this in the news just last week. Vegas has three major casinos that are never reopening now, that never reopened after the pandemic. And Station Casinos said they never. These are huge casinos, by the way. And that's a lot of jobs. Businesses that closed and the jobs that went with them, I guess they don't count. He's actually saying no jobs lost. But the population here grows, so even by his numbers, it's got to be a job loss. And I just wonder if and when common sense is going to make a comeback. But he provides great comedy relief, so I enjoyed it.
Everything.
How many times have you been to a fast food drive-through and I got right up to the window and they said, this is shutting down. This is closed because they just didn't have anybody to man it. Somebody else had to do something else in the restaurant. That's happened a few times.
I don't know. I just don't want to question Sisolak because when you do, weird things happen.
Well, you're still breathing.
Yeah, I am still breathing. I'm like the last guy that questioned him in person. Anyway.
I don't know. The gall.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So what else we got, John? There's got to be more to talk about. Do you want to talk about what's going on downtown or not?
What is going on downtown?
The Pride Parade.
No, I
guess anybody that cares about that's probably not listening to us.
No. No, it's okay. You know, I usually get I really miss reading the cereal boxes. I know everybody reads their tablets or their smartphones at breakfast, but I still read the cereal box. And now you have to because the newspaper delivery is so unpredictable now. A lot of people are not getting their papers. And if they miss their papers, and they do miss them, they will never go to the smartphone or tablet. They want that actual feeling of the paper with coffee.
Yeah.
They call the Philippines to report it, and they don't get it. And now the paper on their side, who wants to deliver papers now with the gas prices the way they are and with what they pay paper persons? By the way, it used to be paper boys, but lately all I've seen is adults doing the thing that kids used to do.
They're all trying to pay Reno rent. And like I said, you need two jobs and four side hustles.
But anyway, there's always a cereal box, okay? Cereal puzzles are the best, but you only find them on Captain Crunch. Never read the sugar content, though.
You know what's weird? I'm on a YouTube channel. Yeah. We have 329,000 subscribers.
Boy, once you start on a YouTube, you just can't turn it off.
Well,
there's always something else that you want to see.
We do. Recently, we did a food challenge video. Look up the word regret, WREGET, food, and you'll see me there. But we do a taste test video. We ate Ultimate Warrior Pro Wrestling, you know, from WWF, Ultimate Warrior from 1987. We ate a box of Superstars cereal on the YouTube channel. And man, the weirdest thing to me was taking a look at the back of a box of cereal from the 1980s. And there is no sugar content whatsoever on it. There's nothing.
Well, wait a minute. Do they call it
something else? Maybe.
Yeah.
No, there was something else, but there was no sugar content on it.
That amazes me.
Yeah,
high fructose corn syrup. You know that.
I'll bring the box so you can see.
No, I believe
you. But it blew my mind. I was literally looking at it going, this is how old this thing is. We weren't even caring about sugar back then. That's why kids could eat, you know.
I didn't know you had this other life, taste-testing cereal on YouTube.
I've got so many other lives you don't even know. I'm joking. Before the Truth and Labeling Act came along. Here we go. And that's not about my lives. I'm talking about the cereal. But that being said, John, we have got lots more coming up here on the show, including the River Inn.
Mm-hmm.
We got Project 150. Carrie McDonald, who's the assistant principal with Inspire High School, is going to come in here and talk about Project 150. I've got a really cool story about how they came to be on the air. Clutter Brothers is coming up. That should be fun. Also, a Wing Fest. We've got Redneck Barbecue in here, Polly's Pizza. We've got Slater's Ding-a-Wing. They're all going to give us some sauces to taste test. So we're going to do our own little miniature Reno Wing Fest right here live.
Polly's Pizza's, you mean the guy who ran it? Because that's not around anymore, is it?
No. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I know it's Polly from Polly's Pizza.
Right, yeah.
I forget the name of the wings. But either way, it's going to be nice.
Cool.
It's going to be good to have them in. But Redneck Barbecue for sure and Slater's Ding-a-Wing are going to be here with us this morning. And we're going to do a little taste off. So lots of good stuff still to come this morning. Don't forget, you can always listen to that podcast at the end of the show at 991fmtalk.com. Also at 923fmtalk.com. You can stream us or listen to that podcast if you're down in Smith and Mason Valley. 775-884-9910 is our number. We're going to be back here next with John and Jay live and local on Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Live, local, FM Talk. KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
It's live and local with John and Jay in Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. 775-884-9910 is our phone number.
Hello.
I'm looking through the heatwave headlines in Drudge. More than 85% of Americans experiencing temperatures above 90. U.S. Northwest is next for a heatwave. UPS workers plan rallies after heat-related incidents. Oh, yeah, because they don't have air conditioning. They have the open doors on those big UPS fans. I heard about their issues there. Scorcher hits farms, stressing crops and herds. That means, food prices. Rio Grande, the river runs dry in Albuquerque for the first time in 40 years. And wildfire near Yosemite National Park explodes in size, Jay. You think this heat wave is bad?
It's the summer. It happens.
Yes, it's called summer.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, here's my question. Has anybody asked Greta Thunberg?
Well, the scorching summer of 1936, no, for real, saw North Dakota bake in 121-degree heat that was hotter than Death Valley. It killed 5,000 people. It made it possible to cook steak on the street. And, you know, back then, people in Nebraska and New York, they slept outside, and Americans only back then had fans and ice to cool them off. Now, the hottest temperature, for all we heard about this is legendary global warming and such, the hottest temperature ever recorded in the United States stands July 1913, when we had 134 degrees in Death Valley.
Whew.
So there's always a record-breaking high. And there's always a record-breaking low. They happen to... Come on in! Oh, we got some guests. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, there's always a record-breaking low and a record-breaking high. Have a seat, guys. Let me guess.
We've got the River Inn
is here.
They made their way in, and we were worried they weren't going to be able to make it, so we were over here just talking to everybody.
You guys had a lobby.
Okay.
So you're going to have to talk about an inch away from these mics here. I'm glad you guys are in. Go to the mics more than the mics come to you.
There we go. Gotcha.
There you go. So we've got in the folks that are here with us from the River Inn. And
yeah, I can give a little history here.
Yes, please do. Set up. Please do.
In the early 1900s, here in town, a resort built around a wide area of mineral hot springs right alongside the Truckee River. You've seen it, folks. It used to be Lawton Hot Springs Resort. For years now, an abandoned hot springs hotel on West 4th at the Truckee River by the train tracks. That's right before Mogul. Look at that. They're taking my picture. It's now called Reno's Historic River Inn. There's life at the old place. And on top of their website, it reads, bought this abandoned property. Now we are going to do something with it. Can I say it's about darn time? Who bought it? Lawrence and Dana did. First, you want to add to the history there, Lawrence? It's a
You got it. 1906, the property was rebuilt in 1983. Brand new construction everywhere and abandoned before they opened.
Which is a crime. I mean, there was a boxing ring. There was boxing training there. They had indoor swimming and restaurants. They had all these people, the community, going out there and getting a little room and going in the hot spas. And people had weddings and families would come there back in the day. How did a wonderful place like that end up abandoned for 40 years? How did that? Why? How? I always wonder that driving by.
The brilliant owner who was rebuilding it was arrested for embezzlement? Something?
Racketeering.
But here's what gets me,
they just abandoned it at that point.
But why didn't somebody else buy it? Why did it sit there empty for 38 years?
You want the real rumors?
I don't want to deal with lawyers.
Location.
Actually, it was. We've been told it had to do with the mob, and there were promises made while he was in jail that it would never leave the ownership. And it sold when the two investors, everybody passed away. That's when we bought it.
So you didn't have to buy it from a guy named Johnny Two Thumbs or anything?
No, we bought it from Lino.
You're not from here. You kind of stumbled upon it.
Yeah, I've spent most of my life over in Reno working, playing. My friends are over here. It's very familiar to me, but this property was an absolute Google Earth search, stumble on this interesting thing on the river, and track down the owners.
Well, how can you not? Like, honestly, when you drive in from California or when you're leaving out of town, too, you see this big, beautiful building there. And am I wrong? Isn't there, like, a Mexican restaurant that's close to it as well?
Up in Verde, but you actually don't see it anymore. The trees have grown so much.
Have they?
From 80, you really don't see the building anymore. So it's kind of hidden. If you're on 4th Street, you can't miss it. But who drives on 4th Street except locals?
See, right. Lawrence, before you came along, I would ask everybody, why isn't this place open? I heard all these weird reasons. Oh, it's not. What was the deal with the fire trucks and the railroad track?
You mean when we lit it on fire or when the...
That was the insurance claim. No,
that's actually a real good reason. One of the reasons that a lot of the buildings in the area...
There was no parking or something?
Well, plenty of parking. But
there's plenty of parking.
We've had the opportunity to meet almost all the main builders in the area because everybody looked at it. The city slash fire department, there's one way in, one way out across the railroad tracks.
Okay, so that's not allowed, right?
Well, it's been done in many, many other developments, okay. And there's ways around it, but there's just pushback. And we have a large lease. We lease 20 acres from Union Pacific, who has kind of changed the rules from the early days.
Yeah.
So they don't really want any humans on it. You know, so it's just kind of one of those political nightmares.
Well, I'm dying to hear what you're going to do with it and everything like that. But we're going to break for news and we're going to take calls for folks who have memories of this old place and can tell us about it and their opinion of what you should do with it. 775-884-9910. Lawrence and Dana, the owners of the long-shuttered Reno River Inn.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting because we're going to talk to you guys after we do some news. We're going to talk to you guys and see exactly what the plan is and how you're going to revamp it and what you're going to do with it and introduce it back to the Truckee Meadows. So this should be a really cool segment. Make sure you stick around. 775-884-9910 is our number. If you have any questions or comments for the owners of the getting revamped right now, River Inn, we're going to be back
Reno's
here.
Historic River Inn.
Yeah, I like that. That sounds better. Either way, it's Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Check out the podcast at 991fmtalk.com. We're going to be right back with Live and Local with John and Jay.